Moving on, we're going to get to work. I love this picture with the Bible and the hammer and the saw. God wants to work on our heart, and the tool that He uses is the Bible to do that. And we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. If you didn't bring your Bible, there should be one in seats around you, and that will be page 40 in the Bible that's around you if you don't have one. I'm sorry, 740. Good. And if you need to get up to grab one, you can do that. There's a couple floating around here in the back as well. So Gene has an extra Bible. Anybody need it? No? All right. I encourage you to bring your own to write in it and take notes. That's what I do. My Bible's my friend, and I'm glad that I'm able to take notes in it. Don't write in ours. Write in yours. If you have one of our bulletins today as well, we do our sermon notes on the back of the bulletin. Does anybody need one of those before we get started? Has some blanks so you can take it and hopefully remember what we're talking about. And also, to let you know, this week in community groups, we're going to be talking about at least a thought from community groups will come from today's message. So if you're going to community groups, pay attention. Because this is what we're going to talk about as well on Wednesday or Thursday night, depending on what group you are in. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. Could I get someone to give me a cup of water, if anybody would mind? Now be careful, Bill brought me two cups of water the other week, and we preached for about 3 hours, so... we'll see how long Pastor Bob wants me to preach for. A shot glass full of water, yeah. And to let you know thank you, Pastor Bob, for our community groups, wow. I'm kidding. Wow, all right. To let you know, too, our community groups go for 1 hour, then we kick everybody out like George Jefferson. Remember that? George Jefferson kicking people out. That's what we do. Because we want people to come back. Right? If you go for 3 hours, nobody's coming back. You do 7 to 8, get out, then people say, oh, cool, I can do 7 to 8. I can't do 7 till 10:30. Right? So we do 7 to 8 and get out. So let's get into the Word today. And let's pray and ask Jesus to help us. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this journey that we've been undertaking as we go through the book of Matthew. Lord, we've found a lot of fantastic truths in your word that I know is changing lives. And I know that they've spoken to me personally. And I'm sure that many in this place are understanding you more because of your Bible. We thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time today. May we worship you and hear your voice speak to us as we get through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today you're going to go with me on a journey here. As we get through the word, we have a picture. Can somebody help me with some blinds maybe to kill a little bit of light if possible? Throwing off her screen. We're going to talk about someone who found Jesus today, who was a healer. Yeah, that's probably about as good as we're going to get. Thank you. And the title of the message, if you have the outline, is Jesus is the good word. Awesome word. Deliverer. Jesus is the deliverer. We're going to look at two people today who came across Jesus and found him to be the deliverer that they needed through what they were going through. These are, it's two healing stories mixed in one. So follow me as we look at verse 18. It says, as Jesus was saying this, as he was talking about what we talked about last week, you can listen to that off of our website if you want to. Great message from last week. Verse 18, as Jesus was saying this, the leader of the synagogue came and knelt before him. My daughter has just died, he said. But you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her. We see a man. How do you think this father is feeling at this moment, right? His daughter just died. I don't know about you, but I can't even relate to this. And can I say this as an aside? I'm so thankful that I can't relate to this. But there are people probably within this room that can relate to this man's pain. That you've been through this. You can get a sense of what he's going through. You can get a sense of what's happening here. He came to Jesus. My daughter has just died. But if you come, you can bring her back to life again. Verse 19. So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with them. They got up and started going. Verse 20. Look at verse 20. Just then, a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. So here we started one story, and right in the middle of the story, here comes another one. We're going to look at this middle story first before we move on. Jesus is the deliverer from disease. From disease. This lady had an issue for how long did she have this disease? 12 years. The other Gospels say that she was broke. The other Gospel writers give us a little bit more detail, and they said that she spent all of her money trying to get better. She went to every doctor she could. She had every CAT scan available in the day, every PET scan, every X-ray, every ultrasound, every blood test, everything. Nothing could help. Probably time after time, perhaps the doctors of the day said, all you need to do is do this and you're going to be better. And with excitement, she says, wow, I'm going to try that. Thank God this is going to make me all better. Only to find out it doesn't work. Anybody been through that with yourself or a loved one or a family member, right? You go to a doctor and they tell you, this is it, this is what you have. And with a little bit of time, you find out that they were wrong. Or maybe they were right on the diagnosis, but their treatments didn't help. And you pay copay after copay after copay after copay, and you never get better. Anybody? Can you relate? Or have you seen loved ones suffer? This lady's been through that for 12 years. Can I say she was exhausted? Right? Can I say she was exhausted physically? She was bleeding for 12 years and they couldn't stop it. She is completely drained. Talk about your energy going. She's done. Emotionally, she's so hurting. She's basically dead inside because all she kept getting was hope that faded away. Hope that faded away. Kind of like trying to reach for the carrot that's always just dangling over your head and just out of reach. That's what she was going for 12 years, 144 months of agony. That's a long time, isn't it? Perhaps she even questioned God. Who wouldn't? God, why did you allow this to happen? If you know the story of Job, Job questioned God. Job didn't deny God, but Job questioned God. And I've heard people say, well, Job never questioned God. You've never read Job. You've never read Job if you believe that. Job questioned the whole book. Is you read it and you're like, oh, I wouldn't have said that, Job. Ooh, that's not good. And God at the end confronts Job about his questioning. Job didn't deny God, but he questioned because he didn't understand why he was going through tough times. This lady, I don't know if she's questioning. The text doesn't tell us that. But I can't imagine 12 years and just not knowing why. And I love in this story that she must have heard about Jesus. Isn't that good? She must have heard about Jesus because she knew if Jesus was coming, if only I could reach out and touch His robe, I would be healed. If only I could just get the end of it. Because she must have seen Jesus heal. She obviously heard the stories of Jesus doing amazing things. Where she had put her faith in the doctors, now, after that was exhausted, and she's broke, and Jesus walks by, all of a sudden she shifts all of her faith to the great physician. Maybe they were good physicians who were trying their best to help her. And I'm not saying going to doctors is a sin. You should go to doctors if you hurt. God gave us doctors. But sometimes with the best medicine that we have, we still fall short. Jesus is the really, really, really good doctor. He's the great physician, the Bible says. And she shifted her faith from the doctors here to the doctor walking down the street, the one who created her in the first place. God Himself, Jesus, was walking down the street. And she heard the stories and she said to herself, she must have, He has so much power that if I can only just touch His clothes, that's all I need. Do you see the faith that she had? Can you see that? She's like, I don't even have to get Him to stop and put His hand on me to pray for me. I don't need holy oil. I just need to brush up against His wardrobe. And that's going to be all that I need. And she reached out in faith and she grabbed Jesus' clothing. And you just saw the text. Jesus healed her. She was healed. Jesus turned around and saw her. And it says, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. Daughter. That's pretty cool. Because Jesus didn't just call her a stranger. That wasn't really His daughter. Jesus didn't have any daughters, right? Didn't have any kids. But she's a daughter of God. So a loving expression towards you who have been hurting, you who have been battered and bruised, you who have been hopeless, Jesus expresses a word of love. Basically like, you who are one of my family, you a daughter of God, right? Be encouraged. Was she discouraged? She was discouraged. And Jesus filled her with encouragement and says, your faith has made you well. Awesome. Jesus is the deliverer from disease. See, we believe that here as a church. We've seen God heal people. Now listen, you don't get healed because you give money in the offering. When those people come on TV, turn the channel. Just stop it. It's bad theology. Jesus hates it, and they will stand before Him and suffer the wrath of God for that. Jesus was not a con artist. He did not sell His healings to the highest bidder. Jesus did not walk around with a van behind Him pulling holy water for $25 a bottle. They're charlatans, they're frauds, and God will crush them one day for their iniquity. Don't buy that. Jesus is the healer, though. Because Jesus does it, not according to how much you can give, but according to how much He desires to love you and work in your life. According to His plan, I guess I should say, His will, He will heal you. And that's just awesome. Within our church, if you don't know, we've had about, I don't know, 4 or 5 people who've been healed of cancer within our church. Now, it's not because I pray and I have super duper good prayers. It's not because my oil came from the Mideast that we pray for and anoint. It's because Jesus is the deliverer. Do you understand? We pray, we anoint with oil, but my faith is not in the oil. My faith is in Him. My faith is not in my own words. They're just words. My faith is in Him. Do you understand? And Jesus has healed. And it's been over and over again. We have a couple people here today who the doctor said, you have cancer. We prayed. And they're fine. And there's no cancer. That's just awesome. See, that stuff happens. God still heals today. He absolutely heals today. And I want you to remember that He is the deliverer from disease. Now listen, that being said, does Jesus heal everybody who trusts Him? I want to say yes, but I want to give you this definition first, okay? Yes, but here's the deal. What is God's ultimate plan for us? To go to heaven, okay? So all believers with cancer are healed. Some of them are healed here on earth. All of them are healed in heaven. Do you see that? So we don't believe that we can go to the hospital and pray and everybody leaves the hospital. That could work, I guess, if that was God's plan to heal everybody. Only God knows. I prayed for people with cancer, pardon me, and they haven't gotten better. And I prayed for people with cancer and they have been healed. God knows. He is God, right? Sometimes His plan is to take people to heaven. That doesn't mean He's not the deliverer from disease. He is the deliverer from disease. Sometimes it is here. Sometimes it is there. But for the follower of Christ, it's always healing. It's just a matter of where it takes place. Amen? But He does heal today here. But it's not every time. I wished it was every time. I really do. But God's plan is heaven. That's better than here. Do you understand? Because in heaven, can I say this? There's no taxes in heaven. Right? There's no mortgages in heaven. Right? There's no lawsuits in heaven. There's no tears, no crying, and no pain. God is building a new world that He wants His believers to go to. And somehow, if you trust in Him, He's going to take you there. And He can heal you here, but even if He does, unless He comes back, you're going to die of something and still go to heaven. Because death is the doorway to get into heaven. Okay? But Jesus is the deliverer from all disease. Does that make sense? Are you there today? He's the deliverer from all disease. So we pray and ask Jesus to heal, and Jesus has healed a bunch of times. Can I get a show of hands? I'm going to ask you, how many of you have seen a healing in either your own life or someone you know's life, like a family member who Jesus healed? Like you prayed and all of a sudden they're better, right? A lot of hands here. Awesome. Awesome. Jesus still heals today. And I'm so thankful for that. We're going to move on to the second bullet point, the second thing here. Look at verse 23. It says, when Jesus arrived at the official's home, now remember, Jesus is still journeying. This guy's daughter is still dead. It says, when Jesus arrived at the official's home, He saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. Get out, He told them. The girl isn't dead, she's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at Him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in, took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept throughout the entire countryside. Your second and final blank for today, Jesus is the deliverer from death. Okay, He's the deliverer from death. Now, if you saw in the passage, they said they saw Jesus, right, and they laughed at Him. They were having the funeral service. And Jesus said, she isn't dead, she's only asleep. Question, was she really dead? Yes, she was really dead. What Jesus is meaning there, for Him, death is not final. Right? Death is not final because He's in charge of it. For them, they're having a funeral, which they were crying and playing the music. And it was kind of a big deal in those days. They would even, wealthy families, which probably this guy who was in charge of the synagogue, right? He was the leader of the Jewish church. He probably had a larger group of people mourning the death of his daughter. They would hire professional mourners to come, people whose job it was to cry at weddings. Right? You know anybody who cries a lot? Right? Because that could have been like their calling, right? People who, oh, you're a whiner, dude. You should have been a professional mourner. I don't know. That's Eagles fans now, unfortunately. We all cry too much. Hopefully they win today. People were there, and Jesus just didn't have time to mess with this. They laughed at Jesus because, no, she's dead. We felt her pulse. She's dead. Well, to Jesus, he's the deliverer from death. It's like she's just sleeping. Jesus has the power to go in, which he does, and he takes the girl by the hand. He speaks a word and takes her by the hand and wakes her up from death. Isn't that awesome? Jesus takes her by the hand and wakes her up from death. Can I tell you that Jesus still does miracles today? This doctor went in, and he's working in an ER, and the guy dies. And they're done. They called it. He walked out of the room. And as this Christian doctor walked out of the room, it was a really cool story. As he walks out of the room, he feels God. He thinks maybe God is telling him to go back and try to zap the guy again. And his initial thought is, that just sounds ridiculous. And I don't want to do it.
We just saw it on Angels Among Us.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a true story. This guy has been on TV. And anyway, he goes to walk out of the room. And the Lord, he thinks it's God again. He didn't hear, hey, I'm Jesus, turn around. But he has this sense of, God wants me to go back and do this. So he doesn't want to be disobedient, so he goes back and says, why not, and gives it a shot. The guy comes back. Awesome story. Awesome story. And he was pronounced dead, and the guy came back. And you can still see the guy. Like, you can go on YouTube and look at the video, and you could probably meet the guy in a diner somewhere. He's still alive. It wasn't that long ago. And it's just awesome. Now, and you can find plenty of video clips, and some people say, oh, I just don't believe the doctor. And some people will say, yeah, I do believe the doctor. I do know this, though. I'll put the clip up later on our church blog. You can check it out on our website. But listen, I do know this, okay? Whether or not you believe this doctor, God still does that stuff today. He still does that. He still heals. To me, it looks legit. I'm a little bit of a skeptic, so even if the doctor, I don't know what in the world he would have gained by telling the story, but even if it's not legit, I know Jesus still delivers from death. Now, I don't think any of you are dead today, right? Can I look around? Some of you might be sick, but any of you dead? Anybody? Not yet, right? Preaching hasn't been that bad. All right. For those of you who are sick and you have, we call it a disease, a sickness, we'll pray, and we'll just pray for Jesus to heal you. And Jesus may heal you today. It's possible he just takes you to heaven too. But we'll pray with all that we have that God will heal you like he has so many times. But I don't think we have anybody who's dead today. So let me change this message here. If you're not dead, right, you're not physically dead, Jesus is still the deliverer from death for you. And here's how. Two ways. For one, the Bible uses the word death to describe hell. Because hell is known as eternal death. It's where you're always in the process of dying, but you never just cease to exist. It goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus describes it as fire. Bad fire. I burnt myself the other day when I put potatoes in oil and a little spot went on my thumb. I don't want to go to hell. Because that was bad. And I'm a sissy. I'm under the sink, you know. Anybody been there? Oil's hot. My potatoes were banging though. But the oil was hot. Jesus describes fire is big time fire in hell. He also says hell is with worms, Jesus says, that eat you forever. So you must never stop being eaten. You must somehow continue to perhaps grow back only to be eaten again, because you're always eaten. Jesus says where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus gives strong warnings about hell. Listen, there's pastors today who say hell's not in the Bible. They don't read the Bible, because Jesus said clearly, the fire is always consuming, the worms always eat. Okay? Jesus also describes hell as outer darkness. So think about this burning fire but no light. You're being eaten but you can't see. Complete darkness, separation from God. Because if it wasn't for my sin, Jesus wouldn't have had to die for me. And the same with you. If it wasn't for your sin, Jesus wouldn't have had to die for you. But He did, because He loves you. And He wants to help you today. And if you don't know Him, call out to Him today. And He wants to forgive you. We're going to pray. You know John 3:16, have you heard the verse? For God so loved the world, that whoever would believe in Him... No, I messed it up. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, you can find life. We're going to pray and receive communion. Our communion is open to everyone who's a Christian. You don't have to be a member of this church. We just ask that you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you commit your life to following Him, basically. If you haven't done that, I want to encourage you to do that now. We're going to pray. And this could be the first day you take communion. And I want you to do that. We're going to pray and ask Jesus to wash us clean. We're going to pray and commit our lives to Him. If you've never done that, today can be your first day. Do it today. If you did it years ago, maybe you were a kid or something, or today's a new day. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Listen, He'll do that. And you'll continue this right relationship with God. And then we're going to receive communion. And during communion, we're going to thank Jesus for what He's done. And we're going to pray for those who are sick as well during communion. Because Jesus is the deliverer from disease and deliverer from death. We're going to worship Him today as that. So let's go ahead and pray. Let's bow our heads today. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, if you're not a real Christian, if you're not a follower of Jesus, today Jesus wants to forgive you. You're not here by accident. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you're a regular part of our church and you're always here. But Jesus wants to forgive you today and wants you to find His life and His peace. He wants to deliver you from death. We're all destined to die, the Bible says. We've seen it. We've been to funerals. But the day that we die, that should be the best day of your life. That should be the day you get to go see Jesus in heaven. That should be the day. And Jesus will usher you into heaven if you ask Him to forgive you. Make Him your Lord. But He'll also work in your life now. Being a Christian is the best thing going. I want to pray with you. If you want Jesus to forgive you, you can pray along with me and I'll lead you in a prayer. There is no power in the words that I choose at all. We don't write down a prayer. We don't do that. The power is in your heart connecting to God. If you mean this with your heart, Jesus will forgive you today.
Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. You've seen my life. You've seen me sin, steal, lie, commit adultery, blaspheme your name, among other things. I confess that to you today. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again for my sin. The sins of the world, but my sin in particular. I realize that my sin deserves death and hell. But you died to pay for my sin. And today, I receive your gift of life. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Be my Savior. And I ask you to be my Lord. Today I trust you and I want to live life for you, through you. Help me to follow you in every area. You are my boss. I don't want to live my old way that makes me sin. I want to live a new way with you. In Jesus' name, thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Listen, Jesus forgives and He saves. He honestly does. None of us are perfect, but He was perfect. I'm so grateful that Jesus forgives me. Do I deserve to go to heaven? Not on your life. But I'm so grateful that Jesus has forgiven me. And if you pray that for the first time, the Bible uses this word. It uses this word of justification. Justification, big word. What it means is when we stand before God, when we pray, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you before, when you pray to God, it is just as if you've never sinned. That now when you stand before Jesus, you can talk to Him. And He will listen. The God of the universe will hear your prayer. Isn't that good? That's better than having the president's number on your cell phone. The God of the universe will hear you. And He'll work in your life. That's awesome. We're going to get ready and close. One thing I want to bring out that we didn't bring out in the message is this. As you look through today's passage, and as you look through what we're going to look at next week, we're going to continue through Matthew, you will see this thread of faith running through this passage, where Jesus specifically mentions faith, or you see it very clearly in someone's life. If you continue through to the next story, you'll see that very clearly, this thread of faith running through all of these stories. I want you today, in light of that, to have faith in God. Listen, He will get you through whatever you're going through. Amen? He will get you through. Some of you are facing tough stuff. And Jesus wants to help you. I want to say this, trust Him. Okay? Some of you trust yourself too much. Or you trust your job too much. Trust Him. Your boss is not your provider. Jesus is your provider. Trust Him. Okay? Trust Him. Have faith in God, not in yourself. Have faith in God. Jesus looked at that woman and says, your faith has made you well. You need to have faith in God. You need to trust Him. When you're feeling discouraged, trust Him. If you feel like you don't know if you can trust God, I want to encourage you to open your Bible. The Bible tells us that faith grows when you read it. Start where we are. Read through Matthew. Read the story. Ask Jesus to help you, and you will find that your faith will be encouraged. Talk to Jesus and ask Him to help you. Say, Jesus, this is scary stuff that I'm going through, and I need your help. Begin to worship Him, and you will see that He will come alive in your life. Amen. Have faith in God. The Lord is good.